Esto es Enrique Santos en Overtime.
I always like to say that this, our next guest here, my next guest, is like kind of like Latin music's best kept secret. Jesse Terrero is in the house. Él siempre se encarga de que los artistas luzcan bien y que nuestra música se vea, se siente. Jesse está presente. Se ve, se siente. Jesse Terrero, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good and happy every time I see one of a new project of yours. So vamos a pasar lista. So those who don't know the name, Jesse Terrero, you can follow him on Instagram right now. So just why don't we start off with, I no me canso de decirlo, Soul Plane, la película Soul Plane.
Yeah.
You're the man behind Soul Plane. Would you say that that's what started it all?
Yeah, on the feature side, Soul Plane was my first feature. You know, it was an exciting project for me, and I got the opportunity to work with Kevin Hart and Sofia Vergara in the early days.
What do you think of them now when you see Sofia Vergara every weekly basis now on Modern Family? When you see Kevin Hart turning down the Oscars, when you see Kevin Hart in like every single movie.
You know what? It's amazing, you know, for me to see Kevin at the level that he's at. And I remember like fighting with the studio and saying, you know, I think this kid is the star of the movie. And they were like, why him? And I was like, look, he's a star of the kid. And I felt like, you know, everything that I fought for at that time makes sense now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you find that as in your career that you've had to fight a lot of, it's not a physical fight, but a lot of barriers and a lot of people just don't believe, especially when it comes to minorities in film and minorities in movies and videos and in general?
You know, I think every step of the way is a fight. You know, it's always a fight, you know, and the thing you learn is you learn how to fight, because some people fight too aggressive, you know, and some people don't fight hard enough. So you got to try to find the balance, because especially as an urban director, like if you overfight, people try to put you in the box. They try to judge you for so many things. It's so hard, man. And even to this, like, you know, 2019, we're still fighting, you know, and it's tough. And that's one of the things that I learned. And I'm a fighter, and I continue to fight every day.
What, let's go down the list now of all the musical, the music videos you're responsible for. So a lot of people can kind of put things in perspective too.
See, for me, I started on the hip hop side, and 50 Cent was my biggest client. I did 25 videos for 50 and G-Unit. So everything from Wangs to the Candy Shop to Lloyd Banks to Buck. So I was doing all these like urban hip hop videos. And then Daddy Yankee got signed to Interscope. So the guy 3H that signed Daddy Yankee was like, hey, you know, Jesse's Dominican. And he put me and Yankee on the phone. And then I ended up doing Rompe and Gangsta Zone. And at that time, it opened the door for like all the other artists to go, oh shit, Jesse's Latino. And I started getting, you know, the Latino favor call, like, then the Looney Tunes call, like, oh, yo, we're
You didn't do the Ozuna video, did you?
Which one?
The Ozuna video? The.
Oh, shit.
No?
No, not that one.
I was just wondering, you know, I'm just,
he said which one?
There had to be a camera guy there.
I did one. I did Escapate Conmigo.
Escapate Conmigo. That one. Escapate Conmigo.
Yeah. And I just did one with him and Nicky Jam. So
that's what's up.
Caught me off guard.
A lot of love for Ozuna. And for Nicky, Ozuna, of course, we love Nicky too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but so then, you know, I made a shift at some point. There was a moment where MTV did it, they had TRL and they did like Me TRL.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did Me TRL, they combined American general market videos with Latino videos. And then you saw like NSYNC with Aventura, you saw these videos combined. And then at that point, you started to realize like, wow, some of these Latin videos are not as strong, you know? And
the quality, you're saying, you could be able to, when you see them back to back, you're able to compare.
Yeah, because right at that point, I think we had like Mundo's had the roof, and it was like the only
I remember
thing,
with Frankie Needles. Yeah.
Latino stand up. Yeah. But, you know, you didn't have like a comparison.
And then, right.
And then when I saw that comparison, I remember like complaining one day or just talking smack and just saying, yo, man, I just don't like the way these videos look and the quality looks cheap. And then someone told me, like, look, you can keep complaining or you can be part of the change. And I was like, wow, that's like stuck to me. And I was like, you know, here I am doing like almost $1 million videos. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this shit's gonna hurt my pocket. But but I felt like, you know what, somebody had to make a change. And if I was doing this stuff for the general market and creating an image and a look, then I can try to do the same for the Latin market. And I made that my focus. And then I shifted and ingratiated myself in the Hispanic market and said, you know what, I'm gonna start doing a ton of videos in the Hispanic market so these artists can understand what they should look like.
With that said, do you think that a lot of minority artists, specifically in our case, Latinos, end up settling for less?
I think they were. I think there's, you know, when you look at the novela system or you look at some of the systems and some of these big sort of Latin companies, they were, you know, it's like a machine, and they mm-hmm. and they felt like, you know what, if we can spend $10,000 on a music video, that's it. You know, the market wants that. If you're watching novela television and that's not equivalent to some of the series you're watching on HBO stuff, they don't care. They feel like, you know what, the Latin market can consume that. It's a hit. We don't need to do any better. You know, and that's the mentality that they had. So a lot of the labels were upset when I came in and I was telling the artists, man, like, you know, you should look like the way the American artists look. Like Aventura should look like NSYNC, you know? Wisin y Yandel should look like this. She's like, and I was like, you know, and a lot of the artists started empowering themselves. Mm-hmm. When I first worked with Wisin y Yandel, they came to me to do a video, and I said, you know what? I'm not really in the business of doing these videos, like, you know, but if you give me a lot of videos, then I feel that I can really make an impact. And then it doesn't matter if I'm making money or not, then I can really create something, you know, because you need more than one video to do that. And then I did 17 videos for Wisin y Yandel at the time that they were growing. And we were just pumping them out and shifting the look and changing what the market was expecting.
17 movies.
You know?
No, those are movies, real, bro.
You know what? They were one of the first artists to break Mexico in a lot of different regions. And I was with them on tour and they were doing an interview and they said the reason that they broke Mexico was because their visual changed. And their visual was compared to Enrique and all these different artists. And for once, there was a reggaeton group that the visuals felt pop.
And perception is more important than reality, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you want, yeah. on how you look at it or what side of the negotiating table you're on, right? But absolutely, todo entra por los ojos. And you see something powerful, you see something well done, and that standard, it should be the same regardless of language or of culture, right?
No, of course. And you know, these labels are not like Spanish labels. They're like the same labels, whether it's Universal, Sony, Warner Brothers. They're the same labels on the general market side. They mm-hmm. just happen to be on the Latin side. And if people are like, you know what, on the Latin side, we're going to spend less money, they just get accustomed to that system. And I think that when I came in and I was like, you know what, I empowered the artists, and the sure. artists started spending their own money. Wisin y Yandel, all those videos I did, they spent their own money.
Well, you're part of that empowerment movement. You're part of that elevation movement of Latinos in the United States. So how do you feel when you see, for example, Forbes magazine comes out with an article and the headline was just, it's like a lot of people are like, what? You know, Latin music more popular in the United States than country or rock?
No, I'm excited because, you know, for me, I was the guy like, you know, carrying the flag going, hey, these guys are big, these guys are big. I remember having a conversation with 50 Cent, and he was like, oh, Jess, what are you doing? I was like, I'm working with these kids, Wisin y Yandel. And I told him, I said, you know, they sold out Madison Square Garden. And he was like, they didn't sell out Madison Square Garden. I was like, well, who? I was like, just by themselves, two nights. And he was like,
yeah, them and who else?
Right. Hold on.
It's not easy to sell out the Madison Square Garden.
We hung up, and he called back, he was like, Yo, they sold out Madison Square Garden.
He's like, you weren't bullshitting.
So, and you know, Aventura was doing four dates at Staples and things like that. And I felt like, you know, at that point, it was all word of mouth. And there right. was companies like AEG or people that understood because they were like, wow, these kids are selling out. But it wasn't until the streamers came mm-hmm. in where now you can't deny it. It's like, if the top 10 videos of last year, seven of them are reggaeton. I mean, you can't deny what's happening in the world. This is not like, it's not in some Spanish country. It's in right. the world. It's global, you know?
It is global. We just had these kids come in from Israel.
Static and Benel.
Static and Benel. I don't know if you had the opportunity to meet them them yet. They're absolutely awesome. They've been singing together for 3 years out of Israel. And el propósito de ello, what they're trying to do is take their music and fuse it with different parts of the world. So the first place that they went to was Brazil. So their song is it's half and it's Hebrew mixed with Portuguese, mixed with English, and now with Spanish too, because they invited J Balvin for the remix.
Nice.
So, and I've always said music is not music. It doesn't have a language. It's universal. If it enters the ear, it touches your soul. It functions. It works.
But you know, I'll tell you this. I just a couple of years ago, I was working with Maluma, and I was watching him grow, and I said, oh, "Wow, you know, this is like, I've seen this before, right? Like his growth spurt and what was happening, and the way the girls looked at him and sang every song. I mm-hmm. was like, this is, you can't make this up. Like this is, you know, I've seen this." And I said, "Hey, you know, we should document this because what's happening to you is extremely special." And I started financing a project with Maluma that's like his sort of Justin Bieber kind of like coming to the world, mm-hmm. his rise to fame. And we were looking to shoot like the main concert because some of it is like built on his story and at the same time it's like concert footage. We shot the main concert in Israel, in Tel Aviv. 30,000 people in Tel Aviv. No other artist was performing, just Maluma, singing songs in Spanish, every song.
That's big. En español.
I mean, it's just, it's incredible. You know, it's incredible what's happening. And you know, it's, people are still catching up. They mm-hmm. can't believe it. They don't want to believe it.
Right. What's your next project? What are you working on now? What are you excited about today?
You know, today, you know, I'm excited. You know, hopefully at some point, Nicky Jam will be available in the United States, but...
Yes, so Jesse Terrero is the man behind this great project, the Nicky Jam, El Ganador, la serie de Netflix. How did this come about?
You know, I was talking to Nicky and we were having a conversation. He told me his story and then I was like, wow, you know, I never heard a story so compelling in the world of reggaeton. And I told Nicky, I said, hey, man, if we can do a deal, like I said, do you allow me to get your life rights? I don't care, 3 months, 6 months, whatever. Doesn't got to be a long deal, but I promise you I will set this up as a film or TV series. And then I, you know, went hard to the market. And Nicky had a song called El Ganador. Mm-hmm. And when I heard it, we were doing El Amante, the video. And I said, Nicky, I was like, you know what? I did a video a long time ago with 50 Cent called Many Men. And that was right at the time that Eminem did 8 Mile. And they took Many Men, the video, because it told 50's story and used it as like a template to sell Get Rich or Die Trying. So I told him, I said, hey, let's shoot El Amante, and the next day, let's shoot El Ganador. And I'm going to shoot El Ganador as a trailer to the TV series. And I'm going to put you in the fat suit. I'm going to put the hair back on you. I'm going to make you look like you did. And we're going to walk that into the studios, and I'm going to press play.
So when we watched the video, the music video, which I'm a part of, and thanks for including me, part of, great to be part of, you know, and to be recognized as, you know, truly being part of someone's, you know, history.
Yeah.
Because we are part of it too. Radio, I think, is still, I think, no, radio does, of course, play a huge role in our artists' careers. So thanks for including me in there. But what you're telling me is that when you shot that music video, you were already envisioning that being a TV series.
Yes.
Somewhere, somehow, down the line, you were going to get that going.
I pitched it to Nicky as the trailer for the TV series.
Because now that you're saying it, now hearing you tell the story, when we see the video Ganador, it makes total sense because you say it looked like
the
trailer
of the song, the way he talks about the song, about how, you know, his whole story restarts in Colombia,
right?
And you know, con todo grabamos, because that's a big thing too. Like Nicky has been this type of person where a lot of artists will just say no, le dicen que no a los artistas,
yeah.
Pero Nicky realmente, como él lo dice en la canción del Ganador, con todo grabamos. Like, he's recorded with everybody and continues to do it, which, like, hats off, because
normally,
a lot of artists don't do that.
And well, a lot of artists, ya cuando llegan a la etapa que está él, once they've reached that point, where Nicky's at right now, and he still has so much more to give.
I mean, he's starting in Bad Boys 3.
Exactly. Yep.
Exactly, yeah.
But normally somebody in his at his position would say, hey, you know what, comfortable, kick his feet back, I want to relax a little bit. No, he's a go-getter, and he's still out there working, so hats off to him.
If you see his story, you know, he's got a second shot at life, and he's like, you know, making sure he capitalizes on it. But yeah, that was the plan. We said, hey, let's shoot this video, and I was going to make it a trailer for the TV show. I went to a thing called NAPTI, mm-hmm. which is where people sell TV shows. I press play. I had a life-size poster of Nicky in the room. I was like, hey, this is what we're doing. I pressed play. They was like, what's the story? I showed them the video. I did a pitch, and we sold it to Netflix.
I haven't seen it yet. Because it's not still in the United States.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's hard.
But my boy DJ Extreme.
What?
Nice.
He was able to get it somehow.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to explain something to you.
Lo pirateó.
No.
He has it somehow. Don't tell me you went to Dominican Republic and saw it.
No, my brother actually, honestly, my brother had a trip planned to Medellin. Yeah. And he went to Medellin. And no, he was able to watch it over there because it's available in Netflix outside of the U.S.
You ever heard? Dígale no a la piratería.
Exactamente.
Okay, here's the victim right here.
Yeah.
His name is Jesse. Tiene nombre y apellido.
I get so plain. It was the most pirated movie ever.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
That's funny shit.
Pirated movie in history.
No, honestly, man, I watched it.
Before you make up the excuse, can I say this story? Can I say that one part?
Oh, go ahead.
Because you've done a good job describing it to me. But you actually made him cry, and I think a lot of people. La escena, you've told me so many times, I need to see la escena cuando Nicky entra y se encuentra con su mamá.
Ajá, y ella obviamente no lo reconoce. Pero, wow, man, let me tell you. I watched it with my wife, and once it comes to the U.S. again on Netflix, I'm watching it again, like for real, because... It's such a well put together series, and obviously somebody who grew up listening to Nicky, to Yankee, to reggaeton in los 90, and then following the movement, it's like, yo, just like you said, he got a second chance at life, and he took full advantage of, you know, making it positive and doing, you know, doing great things with it, honestly.
And it's a beautiful thing to have, and your beautiful testament of that, of being able to, you know, to have a plan, to have a vision, to have a dream, and to be able to execute it.
No, it's amazing. And, you know, I think it's rare to find an artist like Nicky Jam who's open like that. I think for me, it's part of his therapy to tell the story. You know, it's like, you know, there's a lot of artists that would never tell that story. And I think that for Nicky, it's like, this is who I am. This made me who I am, you know. And I think that he embraced that. And it was beautiful. And I'm so excited that people love the series. You know, we're getting amazing feedback all around the world.
So when do we see it here in the States? Not illegally, like Extreme saw it?
No, o sea, tiene que salir, va a salir en Telemundo. Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. Va a salir en Telemundo primero.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Extreme's the biggest PR of the series.
Of the series, man. O sea, yo entraba aquí todos los días and I'm like, guys, I'm not supposed to be doing this. Pero esa serie está... Wow. It's going to be on Telemundo first, and then it's going to be available on Netflix shortly after. But yeah, I guess Telemundo has the...
Yeah, so, you know, they were supposed to release at the same time the way they did Luis Miguel. And for some reason, they didn't. And we're just waiting. But I hopefully Telemundo releases this soon.
Well, hopefully soon. It's going to be a success. Because it already is a success outside of the United States.
You know what it was? Nicky también. O sea, Nicky, o sea, tú no puedes tener una serie y tan cabrona y estás posteando todos los días on Instagram saying, yo, gracias a todo el mundo viendo la serie. And I'm sitting here like... Man, we can't see it, man. Why are you posting about it? So, I mean, that was one of the biggest.
Nicky called me and he was like, yo, I'm in Miami. I can't see the series. I want to show my friends.
That's
so
funny.
Like, I have to have Netflix. I have to make some links so he can see it.
I was going
to
say, I'm sure there's a link somewhere where you know, here's the link, here's the password. You can watch it.
But, you know, it's tough, man. I think that, you know, when you look at reggaeton as a genre, as a music, it was... It's very urban. I think that you know, when you look at hip hop and you put those two things together, hip hop created a new sort of genre of film.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw movies like Juice and Boys in the Hood and Men's Society and Friday and all these movies kind of come that were built around the hip hop culture. And you have reggaeton being the biggest music globally. No content to go against it. Not one movie, not one TV show.
So when's the movie, Jesse?
You know, so we made the first TV show. And then people see the TV show and they're like, wow. Oh, you know, this is, wow, these people are not speaking real Spanish. Oh, whoa, you know. So it's, you know, people get afraid, it's disruptive. So it's like in that corporate system, people might not accept it the same, you know. Netflix, of course, was like, wow, this is authentic. It's real. And it's kind of like goes with their platform. So, you know, I think that the success of Nicky Jam hopefully is opening the door now for people to say, you know, wow, they thought this was going to be like a niche thing, but it's a hit in Spain, it's a hit in Colombia, it's a hit in Buenos Aires, it's a hit in Mexico. And people are like seeing the numbers and they're like, wow, you know, this could work.
It's rough trying to get sometimes people to see what you see, to believe what you believe.
And with that said... I mean, was it hard to get permission from some of the other artists like that were referenced in this series?
Did you have to get permission from them?
Primero que nada, quiero felicitarte porque I don't know if you were part of the casting, but whoever you guys casted casting for Yankee, wow. That kid looked just like Daddy Yankee. And that kid looked just like Nicki. Like, bro, it was great casting for that.
It was, you know, we kept pushing the shoe push like many months because we, you know, I wasn't finding the talent. And there was a big fight sometimes because they were like, you know what, Jesse, you know, you don't have to cast Puerto Ricans. You know, you could cast a guy from Mexico, a guy from Spain or whatever. You just cast a good actor. And I'm like, it's like we're casting guys that exist.
Yep.
That are on social media that people know, like that are Puerto Rican, like they're like the kings of Puerto Rico. Like you cannot cast a guy from Ecuador or some other place that doesn't have the right accent. Right. You just can't. Like, right. You know, for a guy that's in the reggaeton space, you know, they expect me to know what this is like. And we fought and we tested a bunch of kids and a bunch of actors and I just was never finding somebody that I was happy with. And it was crazy because Boy Wonder sends me like videos on like his like whatever email blast, and he sent me an email of John Z, and we were interested in John Z to be a character in the story, and the video he sent me of John Z, I was like, you know what, I pressed play, and when I pressed play, Darkiel was singing the chorus, and I was like, wow,
this that's kid. The guy. I need.
My brother does my casting. I called and said, call Boy Wonder, yo, get this kid on tape, and that's how that happened. And the Daddy Yankee character, we found him on Instagram. You know, somebody was like, yeah, there's this kid in Boston that looks like
identical.
That in Massachusetts that looks like Daddy Yankee.
Massachusetts know? Guys, man, I'm telling you, you know, I'm from Massachusetts.
He's from Mass too.
Us Massachusetts guys, we all got to stick together. Yeah. We're super talented.
And you look a lot. You look a lot like Yankee too.
No.
We fought hard to really keep it authentic. You know, I thought it was important for the culture
and for the credibility of, like you said, of artists that are still alive today.
Yeah. So it's really tough when you have to like do something like a Daddy Yankee or you do, you know, like Nicki, like these guys are so in the public eye. I mean, mm-hmm. they got so many followers and so many people on them. Like you can't mess around with that, you know? And, you know, we tested a bunch of actors and just weren't feeling right. And Darkiel came and really performed, you know?
It was definitely worth the wait then. Yeah, especially when you're dealing, like you said, about, you know, people that are still alive. So the people still have a reference of them.
Yeah, I mean, the Daddy Yankee kid was not an actor, you know? Mm-hmm. He was a kid that we found and we got
was
him.
Is it difficult working with somebody that's never acted before?
You know, I think Darkiel never acted before, but Darkiel is a singer, so he's accustomed to being in front of the camera. So his growth as an actor was a little bit quicker in the sense of us, like, guiding him. The kid that played Yankee, you know, we had to get a coach. Mm-hmm. Work with him, you know, the first couple of days were a little shaky and we were like on him and, you know, working. And then at some point, you know, they just catch that groove, you know, they get into the flow and he caught on and did a great job.
How long did it take you to film the entire thing?
78 days.
Wow. Is that like something?
Such an exact number.
Yeah. No, because I was posting my Instagram day one, day two. So it was like 78 days, and then we did a reshoot. So maybe it was 80 days in total. But
when you're shooting, obviously, something of that quality and of that caliber, it's every day is money, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, it was tough because, you know, it was one of those situations where, you know, you're dealing with corporate America, you have no metrics. Like, I want to do the show about Nicki Jam and reggaeton. It's like, okay, it's a show like.
There's nothing to compare it to.
Yeah. So then the money is extremely low because they're like, you know, this everybody's taking a chance.
Right.
So we shot a lot of the series in Mexico for cost. Right. So, you know, the Mexicans don't have the Caribbean vibe. Right. So it was a little bit tough. And I'm like, you know, every day I'm struggling trying to make mm-hmm. sure that, you know, we shot in Puerto Rico. We shot a bunch of places. So they're like walking in the door in Puerto Rico, inside a place in Mexico, coming out a door in fucking somewhere else. So it was like, you know, we were trying to like get those nuances
right.
to match. And in Mexico, they shoot 6-day weeks, right? So it's like, and they prep 6-day weeks. So I'm like, okay, so I got to work Saturday? Like, you know, I'm not used to that. So we shot 6-day weeks. By the time you're done Saturday, you think you got a little bit of rest. It's Sunday, you're back. Monday, it's like, it was an extremely tough schedule.
You said it was 78 days?
78 days.
78 days. So out of those 78 days, how many times did you hear Yo No Soy Tu Marido?
A lot of times.
Bro, because just watching the series, oh man, Yo No Soy Tu Marido, se te queda grabado.
Jesse, thanks for stopping by. You got to come by more often. You're in Miami often.
Yeah.
Please come by more often, bro.
Yeah, man. I'm right now, I'm getting ready for, I got a movie coming out with Maluma.
Okay.
It's going to come out this year. It's
the one you told me that the
documentary
whole project,
film. It's I'm really excited about it. I think it's not about like success or anything. It like humanizes him. And I think the fans and other artists are going to look at him in a way and be like, wow, you know.
I still remember the first year that Maluma was nominated for a Grammy. He didn't win. And we walked out of the venue. I think it was the Mandalay Bay, if I'm not mistaken. I forget what casino we were walking through. And he was, pobrecito, he was really heartbroken because he thought he was going to win. And I remember him seeing, you know, his eyes all red, all teared up. And I felt like, you know, like my little brother. And I gave him a hug. I said, relax. He said, man, I didn't win. I thought I was going to win. But it was like, I remember him. And then going from that moment that he didn't win the Grammy, he was so let down to where he is now today. You know, it's like he has come a long way in a very, very short amount of time.
No, the kid is disciplined. And then, you know, right now we're casting in Puerto Rico for my new series. So it's sort of like a similar vibe to El Ganador, except that all the main cast are all female.
Okay.
And I feel like, you know, there's a lack of like the female point of view in the world of reggaeton and trap. So we created a series that's all the lead characters, all girls and females.
If you happen to need some guys that have man tits, Extreme and I,
we're available, bro.
We're available, bro. We're here.
We're low budget.
Just call us up. We'll fly ourselves there, bro. We got you.
But I'm excited about that. We're doing that with Google, YouTube. So I'm excited
That's cool.
about that.
Any tips for me? I'm excited. So I'm doing my first. I just joined the SAG. Thing now.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Welcome to the Screen Actors Guild. I'm a part of the Screen Actors
Guild. There you
go.
So now I'm trying to.
Oh, I thought you were still talking about your tits.
No, actually, I was talking about your ass. So I got a very, very small part. Extreme was with me. We went to the studio when we recorded. Ugly Dolls movie. So I'm doing my voice acting, right? So for the first time
voice
in there, I'm doing a character in the Ugly Dolls movie that comes out in a couple months. So I'm excited about that. Any tips?
No, that's exciting. I mean, look, I think if, you know, you're already a personality, people love you. I think that, you moving towards acting or that sort of career is perfect. I mean, you're right in pocket for it. So let's do something.
I think the movie was appropriate. Ugly Dolls.
Nah.
That's probably what the...
I'm going to call you now for my new TV series. I got you.
I'd be honored. Jesse Terrero, make sure you follow him. You do the Facebook and the Twitter too, or just the Gram? You're more a Gram
just,
guy.
I mean, look, I connect them all, but I'm more of like an Instagram guy.
It's just like me. That's what I like.
IG.
I like it's all about the IG.
Yeah.
Jesse Terrero, two S's and two R's. Jesse Terrero on Instagram. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you.